Well, when I was very first a Christian and came here, a new Christian, all very excited, and I remember sitting around here in a prayer circle, and it was very quiet, and I was so excited about God, and I remember bursting out in this quiet prayer meeting, this prayer of, and I remember saying to me, "Settle down, dear, settle down, dear." And basically, to sum me up, I've never settled down. I've never settled down, and I never will, because God is always revealing more of his goodness, his faithfulness, who he is, hallelujah. So as Christians, he never says settle down. It goes from glory to glory to glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I'm in a Pentecostal church. You're allowed to shout, stand up, say hallelujah, get on the floor, whatever, okay? Be free. The Spirit of the God is, Lord is here, amen? Be free. I'm grateful it's harvest. I just all this week just bowled over with that God's got everything covered, hasn't he? He's absolutely got everything covered. And I was just this ringing in my ears this week that as we're here for Harvest Thanksgiving, just overwhelmed at, yes, the provision, physical provision, and we bring the provision back to God really as service to say, you know, I don't trust in my provision, I trust in the provider, hallelujah. Because the provider is always faithful. Even if we've got a job, we live by faith because he enables our employers to be blessed so he can employ us. Hallelujah. Just that we look to the provider. And I was just thinking, God, you know, the Trinity, we've got the whole Trinity just wanting to bless us and enable us. And I was thinking of the Father, God the Father, hallelujah. He sees us already in the context of eternity, doesn't he? He's got that new name written on a white stone in heaven. Hallelujah. He knows exactly what we're birthed for. He sees what we're going to come. He sees us in the context of eternity. Thank you, Father. You already see me as complete. And then you've got the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We've got the Holy Spirit with us, who works with us in the here and now. He's absolutely every day in the here and now. He works with us in that context so that we are present, future people. Hallelujah. Isn't it great? And then you've got Jesus, who stands in the gap between our present and our future and is ever interceding for us before the Father. So I'm not going to settle down, and you shouldn't either, because that's enough to keep us in praise and worship for the next hour, isn't it? He has got you covered, Brixington. He's got me covered and you covered. Hallelujah. That's not to preach. That's just me thinking. I just want to, whoa, what a place of favor. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you walk in the favor of God. You are a blessed person. Go on, tell them they're blessed. They should be grinning from ear to ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means that grace and favor, our inheritance, can come to us. Why? Because of what Jesus did. All because of what Jesus did. Never on our performance. Hallelujah. So if I flump and fail this morning, it doesn't matter a jot to God. He's just like, you did your best. Hallelujah. It's all to do with grace and favor. And it's grace partnering with faith that I want to share with you this morning. I'm not teaching, I'm preaching a heart message this morning. So don't get petrified when you see that message and think, blimey, if she's going to teach through that, we're going to be at 2 o'clock. I'm not. I'm just sharing my heart. Who believes that God speaks today? Hallelujah, he does. And he speaks in dreams, yes? I get God dreams, always have. That's one of the ways that God speaks to me. And this whole, when I was praying for, when I was asked to speak this morning, and I was like, oh God, I haven't got long. What do you want to say to Brixington? I haven't been there, I don't know what's going on. Just what do you want to say? And then I had this dream, which I was convinced was, I had a big bowl of fish fingers. Crazy, just fish fingers. I just fancy fish fingers. And I blamed it on the fish fingers because it wasn't a usual God dream. Usually I can interpret them, these, but I couldn't interpret this one. I even shared it with Gary and he's like, what's that about? I have no idea. And in this dream, I was on a mission. I do a lot of missions. And we were staying in a hotel that was our typical mission hotel, very basic, very dark. And I wanted to iron an article of clothing. That's all I wanted to do. And I had my dressing gown on. I've got a white dressing gown, big spots on it, pink spots. And I was in my dressing gown, went out of my room to find an iron. Well, I got totally lost. I ended up lost in this hotel. Then I ended up going out the door to try and find another way in. Got lost outside the hotel. Found myself wandering around this foreign country. I couldn't speak the language. I hadn't got a phone. I was wandering around. There was people kind of, obviously, I was feeling very vulnerable, very fearful. And the more I tried to logic my way, if I go up there, turn left, get back up, I just got more and more hopelessly lost. And the most awful, overwhelming fear of absolutely lostness, vulnerability, and not having any resource, couldn't speak the language, and I knew that my mission team was waiting for me, and I couldn't get to them, and I couldn't contact them, and I woke up. It wasn't even a happy ending. I was just left wandering around this foreign place. And I was like, God, what was that about? And I really thought, you know what? It's not about anything. Not about anything, Lord. And I was like, right, Lord, give me a word for Brixington. Now, we've been doing a study on the heroes of faith at King's Winford, where I am worshipping. And so I'd spent a lot of time in the Old Testament. And God dropped a verse in my mind, which was actually the first verse of that reading, which says, "See, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions." And immediately when I read that, I thought, that's my dream. In the dream, I was a picture of a people walking in the opposite to what God promises us. Amen? Because in this scripture, actually, is some incredible promises for you and for I. There is no reason why God's people have to walk around feeling absolutely no resources, feeling lost, feeling afraid, feeling vulnerable. When there's an army, God is raising up an army and he has resourced us and given us everything we need to be part of the end time army. Hallelujah. It's provision. This is all about provision. This is a message I pray that will absolutely encourage you, will cause you to say, I can do this. I'm going to walk in the grace of God, the favor of God, and I'm going to step out in faith for such a time as this that God has called you here to Brixington. Hallelujah, because you're here for a purpose. God has called you by name, birthed you, created you before you even in your mother's womb for such a time as this. So, Father, I pray that you would encourage your people this morning. Lord, we love you. We are overwhelmed by your love for us. We are overwhelmed, God, by the provision of your one and only Son, that he would willingly lay down his life so that we can have life, that he would be broken so that we could be made whole, that he would be orphaned, that we can be known as the children of God, sons of God. Father, if we did nothing else this morning but just say, thank you, Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would do that, overwhelm us again with gratitude, a gratitude that compels us to go and share Jesus with those who are wandering lost and alone, hopeless, feeling vulnerable and walking in fear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God good? That's what I like. Hallelujah. So as this text opens, just to give you some context, it opens as Moses has ascended Mount Sinai again. He's gone up for several trips. This is about his fourth trip. And Moses has received what was kind of the practical application of the Ten Commandments. God was promising that there would be a conquest of surrounding nations to Israel if she would live in covenant faithfulness to the Lord. Boundaries put in so that it could be free. I think one of our society's biggest problems is we've done away with all boundaries. Our kids don't know what's right and wrong. They think they're in freedom. Actually, they're in absolute bondage because boundaries keep you safe. It means you can free, like a child playing in a garden that's got a big fence around it. They can go and be free in that garden because you know they're safe. And I think we've lost a lot of those boundaries today, and it's dangerous, perilous times for our young people. So I bless your young people's work and your youth work. So he's waiting this for them to possess the land. He says, I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean. By living under the lordship of Christ in the most practical, and if you read back over that, it's all about the practical outworking of those things to do with marriage, social justice. That lays the groundwork for our most important assignments, which is reaching people with the gospel. Hallelujah. We have all got that assignment as his children. Amen. We've all got a mission and a commission from the Lord. That's why we're alive. That's why, as Viv said, we woke up breathing this morning so that we can share this Jesus with the nation, with Brixington, and with the nations. Amen? And for 400 years, these people had waited for God to move, to bring them out of slavery. Now they find themselves right on the edge of the promised land. Now the tables have turned and they're no longer waiting for God to move. God is waiting for them to move. And today God is still waiting for his people to move in the grace of God and faith in him. There are promises within this reading that I believe God wants to encourage us with and maybe challenge us with today. Individually, because this can be taken individually, wherever you're at this morning, God will speak to you, I pray, but also corporately. As the church, we his church in this day that he has birthed us in. And the first promise is there. God says, you know, I will be with you, doesn't he? In that first verse, he says, let's read it again. I'll find it. He says, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey Now, I don't know about angels. I believe in angels, biblical to believe in angels. But the angel in this, it says in this that my word is in him and that he can forgive sins. So I think this angel here is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. But hallelujah, we've got angels on our assignments. Amen? I'm so grateful we have. And I think we forget too often, but we have an angel assigned to us. And I think they're up there just waiting for assignments. But we've got this promise of protection, that he will guard them on the way. God says, I will send an angel before you to protect you on your way, on a journey. We are people, as Christians, that are journeying. Hallelujah. We're tent people. We don't make camp sit there. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading us on and on. I love talking to Andrew. He says, I have no idea what God's going to do this year. That's what it's like to follow the Holy Spirit, to follow God in your life. I can't make plans for next year. I have no idea. We're a journeying people, aren't we? He will bless you. He will protect you as we are listening to the Holy Spirit, as we are walking as a fellowship and as individuals in the way. We're walking on. Hallelujah. What he won't bless is when we're sat at home just praying for revival, but we never move out of our chair. He blesses us as we move. Brixington, be a moving people, and God will be with you, amen, and protect you as you're on the way. As you are journeying, as you are about your assignment, we've all got that assignment. We may have individual assignments as well, but we all have that corporate assignment to preach the gospel to the nations. You will know his protection. Often we don't realize, do we? Do you know, this got me so excited the other day. As we're journeying along, it's good just to stop and look back. And I wonder if God would give us a glimpse of what he had protected us from this week. Those diversions on the motorway that you were grumbling and moaning about. Maybe that's because something was happening down there. If we could get a glimpse in the spirit of what God had protected, we'd never need to worship. We'd just come in singing and praising. Amen. It's good to stop and look back. Thank God. I haven't seen it in the near and now, but I know that you protected me this week. Give us a glimpse, God. He will protect you. He promises to protect you. I can look back on my journey so far and see how he has protected me from even my own prayers at time. Anyone been there? Anyone remember the prayers you prayed? You know, thank God, God, you didn't answer that. Thank goodness, God, you didn't listen to that one because I've been a right mess now. He protects us. He is watching your life. He is watching you as you journey. And even when you're praying stupid prayers, he says, you know, that ain't going to do you any good or anybody else or good, and it's not going to ultimately do you good, so no. And you're like, actually, it was God's protection. Everything about God is good. The greater the assignment we have, then the greater the assistance. It's why I love going to mission places that are high risk, high grace. We can do, you know, leaflet dropping is low risk, low grace, because if God doesn't show up, it makes no difference. You put your letters through the box. You're out in the middle of somewhere in a foreign country and you're up against it and it's like, oh God, you get me out of this or I am stuffed. And you're in fear and trembling. That's kind of high risk, high grace. It's what the persecuted Christians are operating in Pakistan and India and other places. High risk, high grace, but God shows up. Greater the assignment, the greater the provision of God, the assistance along the way. You've got an angel. You've got an angel. Maybe you've got more than one. But I've got something better than an angel, and so have you. I've got the Spirit of the living God, the risen Savior, living inside me. Have you? Have you? Hallelujah. You can give me 10 angels, but if they don't show up, I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've got someone in me that says, he that is in me is greater than he is in the world. That means, you see, I won't settle down because I've got God living inside of me. And so have you. The provision of the Father is to say, do you know what? I'm going to make my home inside of you. Wow. Isn't God good? Does he provide? Yes, he does. Just like Christ, I can be led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that I can fulfill his assignment. And so are you. So are you. We don't wander around lost and alone, vulnerable and in fear, because we've got Christ living inside of us. Woo! You've got an angel protect you on your way, and you've got Christ inside of you, the Spirit of the living God. And he has promised, and we never have to pray, God, don't leave me. God, he says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you while you're on this assignment, when you're on my mission. He will never, so we never have to pray that. Guaranteed, he is with you. He will be with you. Amen? He'll be inside of you, and he'll be on you if you're about your purposes and not sat in an armchair just praying, God, bring revival. So do it. Do the work. It is in completing. It's about working at that assignment that you receive the strength for your assignment. How many of you, you know, you sit down, you're in fear and trembling. When I'm like, God, it's impossible. I can't do it. Then you take that first step out and it's like, doof. Then the provision comes. Then the faith starts to rise. But it's as you step out, you tangibly, the first time I ever preached, and I've told this before on a stage, I was set up by God because everyone went sick. The pastors went sick. The evangelists went sick. I just thought I was just going to give a little testimony. Then these big bishops say, no, you preach. And I'm like, I can't preach. Never preached in my life. And I absolutely sweated buckets until I took one step forward and I stepped into the empowering of God. And I said, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a leader, but I know my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. As you step out, so he promises to protect you. Second promise in that reading that he says, I will bring you to the place. I will bring you to the place. His promise to position you. He will bring you to that place. God will get me where he wants me. God will get you where he wants you as we pay attention to him, walk with him. He will bring you to that. See, he takes all the, it's not about us. It's about him. He does it all. He really does as we surrender and yield and keep our eyes on him. Sometimes it's not even where you want to go. How many can you say yes to that? No, I'd love a mission in Barbados. No, you're going to Far East Russia where it's freezing cold. But it's not always where you want to go. Why? Because his purposes are higher than my personal preferences. I'm not here to have my preferences met. I'm here to serve him and follow him. Amen? That means sometimes it ain't where I want to go, but it's where God wants me and is positioning me and you too. See, God has provoked, just in this scripture reading, in this amazing book of Exodus, God has brought his people, this nation, out of captivity in Egypt. He has protected them in such incredible ways, hasn't he? He's brought them through a blooming ocean, for goodness sake. He's fed them daily. He's done incredible things, brought them out of the deep waters. He's kept them alive while they were in slavery, stopped them from being killed. And now he's brought them to the very edge of the promised land. The very edge of the promised land. He's like, I've done everything. He's positioned them. And yet they failed to go into the place and receive the promise. He'd done it all, but they failed to go in, and a whole generation died away, and another generation. You can take them out of Egypt. We've heard this many times, but so many people get stuck. God sets you free. It's hallelujah. You believe, you get baptized, and then you get stuck. Like you're out of Egypt, but you're not living and experience the fullness of what it is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, live in the provision of God. Walk by faith, amen. And I see too many people who get all fired up, baptized, get saved, and then they get stuck. They're still thinking like they did in Egypt. They haven't been transformed by the renewing of their mind. They get stuck in old mindsets, and they're walking around in shackles that they've already been set free from. I'm like, what are you fighting? You've already been set free from that. And they're fighting defeated foes, wandering around in fear, vulnerable, no resources. That is not the body of Christ. That is not what a Christian looks like. Hallelujah. A church, an angel, the Holy Spirit can position you and bring you safely to that place, but he cannot go in for you. He has brought you to Brixington. He has positioned you as a fellowship. You're on the edge of having revival. Somebody prayed this morning, but he will not go for you. Why? Because it is a grace and faith partnership. A beautiful, it is not all about God. And it is not all about you. It is the grace of God and faith working together. Amen? That's what makes it exciting to be a Christian. And then you're like, well, I haven't got your faith. We've all got a measure of faith. Scripture tells us, Romans 12:3 says this, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Some versions say the measure of faith. I don't care whether it's our measure or the measure. We've all got faith. And faith, what, as small as a mustard seed can do what? Move mountains. Because locked up in that little bit of faith you might have is incredible potential. Incredible potential. You all have faith. It says so. And your faith is like a muscle. It can grow. Faith is the sure conviction that God's word is the final authority in every situation, and you release that authority in word and action. It's not just declaring truth, it's getting out there and doing it, demonstrating that God is bigger than that situation, demonstrating that I know what the circumstances, but I know a God who overrides circumstances. Hallelujah. He will not possess the land for you. You've got to take that step of faith. I've got to take that step of faith. He has protected you. Amen? Take a look back over your journey. He has positioned you, and he's done something else. He has prepared you. He has prepared you. God has been setting you up. You're told in the scriptures to pay close attention. Close attention. How many of us miss the wisdom of God, how the direction of God, revelation of God? Why? Because we're so easily distracted with the world. We're so easily distracted by the life, by the things we've got, by the jobs we've got to do. And I think, God, if you could just show me what I've missed, because I get so easily distracted, so busy in something else, have nothing to do, it says, with the gods out there. We've got to keep focused attention on the Lord. Amen? We missed so much. Pay close attention. How do you do that, you say? By spending the time with the Lord. By getting into this, not just reading it the odd morning, but study it. Eat the word. Let it feed you. I am constantly excited because I'm constantly in here, and every time I'm in here, I'm like, can that be true, God? Because it's crazy good, this stuff. It really is. Gotta pay close attention. Be a people of prayer. That's a lifestyle of prayer. That's walking and learning to have one ear attuned to the Holy Spirit and one on whatever you're doing. We go out now, and it was interesting, on a homeless ministry in Birmingham. And when we first went out, you know, you go to Birmingham. I used to go to Birmingham because it's a great shopping place. And you'd go and your focus would be on the shops. That's all you'd see, great shops and markets and that. Never saw any homeless people until I intentionally went out to see homeless people. Now all I see when I go to Birmingham, I don't see the shops, I see the people that are in need. Or you see somebody walking by who you just, God gives you a word for. Because my attention has shifted. I've learned to have that one ear open to the Holy Spirit. And you need that too as you're walking around Exmouth. Pay attention. Listen to God. Know God. We've got the privilege of knowing him. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. Meditate on this word. Study it. And be a people of prayer corporately, but also your secret place in that room where you shut the door and it's just you and God. If we don't pay close attention, I'm watching that clock because it's only 25 to 10. So if we pay close attention, we see in scripture what happens when the Israelites first came to that land and they sent the spies in, didn't they? Two came back with good reports, yes? It's a great land. We can take this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Look at the fruit. But 10 spies came back with what? Negative reports. The inhabitants, oh, they're too big for us to tackle. Oh, there's giants in that land. A people whinging and groaning and moaning, when if they'd looked back and seen the miraculous hand of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, now doubt and fear comes in, and back they are wandering down this lonely, resourceful path we can't possibly go in, and they lost stepping into the promise. Paralyzed in fear. Even in reality, the enemy was actually running from them. They'd heard. They were on the run, and yet here was God's people running from an enemy that was already on the run. So often we are running from something that has already been defeated. We run from things that ought to be running from us. That's why we don't shudder when we go into dark places. We don't go in there, we shut the door. No, you go in, because when you go in with the light and Christ inside of you, the enemy has to run, the darkness has to flee. We never go in with fear and trembling and six-hour prayer meeting first. No, I know who's inside of me. And when God's inside of me and I let God out, the enemy has got to go. Amen? Light always pushes the darkness out. Hallelujah. We run because we're not paying close attention to the Holy Spirit. And preparation can come in ways that we don't expect. I know that one. Sometimes God uses, because he will use everything because he's good. So even God can use adversity. And you could often be blaming the devil for something that God is allowing across your path to grow you up, to mature you, to teach you. Amen? He's had me in situations like, you're not going until you've learned this lesson. You can be blaming the devil for something that is actually God allowing for you to grow, to work in your life, to grow up, to prepare you for what's ahead. You want an example of that? Look at Paul with his thorn in the flesh. Paul, mighty man of God, prayed, take this away from me. He doesn't tell us what it is, but he's like, would you take this away from me? Taking God says, no, I won't. Why? Because Paul was doing such amazing, great things. He says, I've been blessed. I'm seeing the most amazing things. And God's like, I'm leaving that in your life. Otherwise, you're going to get proud. You're going to get proud. So I'm leaving that there. So you remember my grace. You'll come to me. You'll keep coming. I am thankful that it's not all easy and good going. I'm thankful that there's some difficult things because that causes me to draw away to God and say, oh, God, you've allowed this still to be here. But if it's still here, it's because you want me to learn something. You want me to overcome something. You want to teach me something. That's it. That's freedom when you can say, bring it on, because I know whatever God allows to be bringing on, it's for my good, ultimately. Yeah? Because he doesn't bring stuff that isn't for our good. Doesn't allow it. Paul says, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best, what? In weakness. Not when we're strong and got it all together, but when we're weak, then God said, woof, then I can pour in my strength. When we acknowledge our weakness, if you're up against it this morning, bit like we were saying, oh, don't be proud. Just, God, I've stuffed up. I'm weak. I can't do this. And God said, that's all I need. Now I can help you. Paul says, my grace, so now I am glad to boast in my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ can work in me. That's why I take pleasure in weaknesses and the insults and the hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Satan meant it for harm. Satan always meant things for harm, but God will turn it around for good. If you give it to him, if you come to him, Lord, use this, he will turn it around for good. Hallelujah. His grace will be sufficient for me. It will be sufficient for you on this journey that you are on, no matter what comes against you. It's all part of your preparation. It's part of your transformation from glory to glory, from freedom, to ever-deepening faith. Just like my sister said, we are saved. Hallelujah. You will never be more forgiven than you are right now. You will be never loved more than you are right now. But you will still go from freedom to freedom to freedom as the God works in your life. Amen. Because he wants us to stay relying on him. We've all got something we wish that God had taken away, that God would just deal with. Might be weaknesses you've got, might be a fear of getting out and sharing Jesus, or it might be just hardship, might be some persecuting you're getting from somewhere, might be addictions, it may be an anger issue. Well, the promises here says, I am with you. He is with you. He will protect you while you're working through this. He will position you, but you have to take that step of faith and choose freedom. You have to choose to say, I'm in this right now, but I believe Jesus, you broke those chains at the cross. I want to step into freedom in Jesus' name. Instead of, this is just me. I'm just born with an anger issue. I'm always going to have it. No, you don't have to have it. We stand in the all-sufficiency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ in you is enough. Christ in me is enough. And he says, if that isn't, he puts you in a body so that you can encourage one another, pray for one another. Hallelujah. Like Paul, we can declare his grace is sufficient for me on this journey. God has been setting you up, church, for years. His grace is sufficient for you. He set you up. He has positioned you. He has protected you for this day, for this hour. But he will not go in for you. Brixington will be saved when you believe God, believe his protection, believe he will position you, he will resource you, he will not leave you alone. As you look to him, you will see this community one for Christ, because God doesn't lie and he doesn't set you up for a duck. Amen. Start believing it. Start doing some praise on what God has given you. Start saying the promises are for me, but the promises have to be laid hold of. That's a promise, but he says you've got to step out into that to receive it. Amen. That's the same for me, for my life, for my fellowship, for the church, and for Brixington. There's a phrase that's been running by my head for all this year, really, shared with John. early in the year, as I stepped out in faith with the house of prayer, the community house, and this is what it says, don't let it be said, Jude, that she could have, and she should have, if only she would have. And that put shivers down my spine. Thank God, I don't want that to be said, that she could have, and she would have, and she could have, and she should have, if only she would have. Same for the church. There is no reason, no reason, because God has given us everything. An abundant, abundant God has given us every single resource, every spiritual blessing in Christ, that we can fulfill the assignment that he has given each and every one of us. To go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the commands I have given you. And that beautiful promise, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Some of you this morning, I just pray you be encouraged as a fellowship, but some of you this morning, even like, I'm that person. I'm wandering. I am absolutely wandering around. I hear this stuff, but I feel like the person in the dream. I feel like I got no provision, and it's vulnerable, and I'm scared, and I have no idea where I'm going. There's no direction. Well, God will want to bring you out of that right now this morning, because that is not your lot if you belong to God. He wants you to walk in faith and hope, no matter what comes, and strength, because when I'm weak, he's strong. He wants to take you from that into being part of a soldier in the end time army, who it's not about anything to do with the flesh, it's all to do with who lives inside of you and who is with you. So I want to pray this morning for those of you that may not belong to Jesus. Maybe you know, Simon spoke about being a child of God. You're like, I don't know, I'm not a child of God. Well, you can be that this morning. Eternity with Jesus starts the minute you say yes to Jesus. And I also want to pray this morning for anyone who's in that place, and you know you're shadow boxing. You know that you're fighting shackles that actually Jesus set you free from, but they're still tripping you up. They've still got you bound up. That this morning you might be free. That you will go out of here singing the praises of God in this community. God who loves you, protects you, provides for you, positions you, and equips you, and resources you to do what he birthed you to do. Amen? Isn't it exciting walking with Jesus? Hallelujah. So let's pray, just in case there's anybody in here this morning who you still don't know, you're still struggling in sin, you're still outside, and you're like, God, I want to know you. I want to know if that's true. And God says, well, I'll prove it to you. I'll meet with you. Just close your eyes, because it's not about anybody else. It's about you and God. God's here. He's here to bless you and meet with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died to set us free from selfish living, from trying to do things our way and stuffing up endlessly. Shame and guilt and all the rubbish that comes with it. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you want to just get right with God this morning, then just repeat it quietly or repeat it out loud. It doesn't matter, as long as you mean it. So dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross so that I could be forgiven and set free. I'm sorry for all the selfish living that I have lived my way. Please forgive me. And I thank you, Father, that you raised Christ from the dead and that he is alive today. And you offer me this morning the gift of a brand new life in you. I receive that life as a free gift. Thank you, you offer me the gift, the free gift of forgiveness from everything I've ever done and everything I ever will do. I receive that gift of forgiveness. And you offer me the gift of your Holy Spirit, that Spirit of the living God, to come and live inside of me, to help me live this new life for you and through you. I receive that free gift right now. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are my God. And I say no to the devil, having one more day of my life, and I give a big resounding yes to Jesus. While everyone's eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, just put your hand in the air so I can come and pray for you later. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Bless you. Father, I thank you that, Lord, right now, three people have shifted kingdoms. They now are a child of God. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are secure in you forever. No one can snatch them now out of your hand. I thank you there's a party going on in heaven right now. Whether it's one or a thousand, heaven erupts when someone shifts from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are now a child of God. You are loved, accepted, chosen, valued by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And eternity starts right now, living that brand new life for Christ. Father, disciple them, root them, ground them in your love, and then send them out to share Jesus with others who are still wandering, lost, and alone, vulnerable, and in fear, that they might come home too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and I just want to bless you as a fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this beacon on the hill. I thank you for every prophetic word that has been spoken over this faithful fellowship. Lord, I thank you. You have kept them through tough times, through the valleys and through the mountaintops experiences. I thank you, God, that you have protected this fellowship. Father, may we rejoice, look back, and thank you for the hand of protection upon Brixington Community Church. That, Lord, you have not only protected them, you have provided for them over the years. And you will go on providing for them so they can be your hands, your feet, and your voice in this community, in the nation, and be sent to the nations. And I thank you, God, that you have positioned them for such a time as this. You have steered them. You have spoken to them. And as church, you yield and you surrender to that leading of the Holy Spirit as you keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, as you let your not be distracted to the right or the left, but look and focus on him, then you will take that step of faith. He will not take this area for you. He will not bring revival while you're praying from your armchair. He will bring revival. You will bring revival as you step out in faith and declare with authority the word of God, the promises of God over this estate, over people's lives. And as you pray for people, as you demonstrate that the Jesus is alive, he is not dead, he is not irrelevant, he is totally relevant for the age that we've been birthed and born into. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on my precious brothers and sisters of this fellowship. Strengthen them this morning by your Holy Spirit. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Stop striving and start yielding, start surrendering, and then lift your head up. Step out in faith and see what God will do. I was smiling. I'm getting older. And I'm like, oh God, you know, we're always praying in our church for, you know, you hear the youth, oh, pray, rise up a Joshua generation. Well, God reminded me, Joshua was 80. Joshua, you can be a Joshua generation. So I speak over you, Brixington, that you can be a Joshua generation, because God doesn't care how old you are. He cares about a heart that is after him. He cares that you believe him enough to take steps of faith. Become a high-risk, higher-grace church that says, I'm going to step out, and if God doesn't show up, I'm stuffed. But he does, because we're about his business. It's for his glory. It's not for our name. It's not for any church's name. It's for the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit wants nothing more than to see God glorified. Jesus lifted high, so he is with you. He will equip you. He will position you. Go in joy. Go in freedom. Shake off the shackles that are just a lie from the enemy. It says you're too old, or you can't do it, or you haven't got enough faith. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You have been resourced by heaven with everything that you need. So bless you, church. Bless you. Be a people of joy, a people of grace and faith in Jesus' name. Amen.